Likutei Halachos Yoredei Chelek Aleph Hilchos Avodas Elilim Halachot Beis Paragraph Zion. Today's learning is dedicated Lilui Nishmas Meir Ben Sabut Meir Ben Shaul, whose yahrzeit is today on the 8th of Elul, and also Lilui Nishmas Tuvia Ben Yisrael Yitzchok Yerachmiel Daniel Ben Gedalia and Rosa Basi Tamar. Also for a complete refuah shleima for all those that need it. B'soich Shar Choli Yisrael. We're continuing on the topic of a Jew versus lahavdil a non-Jew, as far as when they make something into an idol, and if they decide they want to nullify it from being an idol. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what we learned in the previous paragraph, Nimtza sheYisrael achidon beMalka bilchudoihi, that it's the Jewish people that are attached to the King, to Hashem alone. Va'oraisa v'Yisrael v'kudshe baruch hu kul echad. And the Torah and the Jewish people and Hashem are one. V'heim bechinas haneshama v'hatzura v'hachius shel kol ha'olamos kulam. And they are the soul and the spirituality and the life of all of the worlds. V'ein lahem shum achiza begashmius hadvarim klal. And we have no connection to the physicality, to the gashmius of everything, whatsoever. Whereas the ha'akum, whereas the non-Jews, heim bechinas guf, va'asiya, v'chomer, they are the body, the physicality, the matter, asher mishom achizas ha'avodah zorah kanal, and that's where avodah zorah can easily attach itself to. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds a qualifier, avol be'emes, we know the truth is that non-Jews are also are commanded by Hashem not to worship idols. It's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs of the Bnei Noach. Ki ho'akum shein b'chinas guf v'choymer hein tzrichim lahachmiya ulehizbatel legabi hanefesh v'atzura. Because the non-Jews, who we said are like the body and like the physical matter, they're supposed to humble themselves and nullify themselves to the soul, to the spirituality, Shehem Yisrael, which is the Jewish people. Kimoy haguf shetzorech shizbate legabi hanefesh, just like the body is supposed to humble itself and negate itself to the soul. Vizehu ikar tikun ha'olam, and that's the real tikun of the whole world, when things are functioning in that way, that the soul is in charge and the body is subservient to it, when the Jewish people are on top and all the other nations are subservient to them. Kemoi sheyel osid, as it'll be in the future. Be'eis sheyafoich lechulam sofa brura likroi kulam b'shem Hashem. As we mentioned this pasuk earlier, a pasuk in Sfanya, where it says there'll come a time when Hashem will turn around all the nations of the world. They will all call out to Hashem. She'oz yihyu nechnoim ma'oid tachas Yisrael. At that time in the future, all of the other nations will be very subservient to the Jewish nation. Kama shekosuv, as the pasuk says, ve'chziku asora anoshim mikol l'shoinoi so'amun b'knaf Yehudi lemor nelcha imohem. The 10 members of each and every one of the nations of the Goyim will grab on to the corner of the garment of a Jew and say, we want to go with you. Kishomanu elokim imochem, because we've heard that Hashem is with you. Va'oz tizbatel avodah zorah legamri. And then in the future, the idol worship will be eliminated completely min ha'olam, from the world. V'ho'elilim koresi koresun, and all idols will be destroyed completely. Ki yizbatel ha'choymer legabi atzura, because the physical will come be completely null and void to the spiritual. Haguf legabi anefesh, the body to the soul. Ho'akum legabi Yisrael, the non-Jews to the Jewish people. V'Yisrael yiu dvukim b'Hashem Yisborach tomid, and in the future, the Jewish people will always be deeply attached to Hashem, v'yalu v'yakashru hakoil Hashem Yisborach, and we will elevate and attach everything to Hashem. Shezehu iker tachles brias kol ha'olamos, And that's the real ultimate purpose of the creation of all the worlds. Aval achshav, however, now, Shehem Rechoikim Yisrael, when all of these other nations are far from the Jewish people, Va'adarabah, Hem Roitzim Lezgabra al Yisrael, not only that, but they want to control us. They want to be in charge of us. Machmazeh Yesh Achizah LaHavodah Zorah VaHakfirus. That's what makes it possible for Avodah Zorah, idol worship and denial of Hashem, to exist. Shehu Bechinas Hizgabrus HaChomer Alatsura. These are examples of the physical trying to overpower and control the spiritual. V'al kein, and therefore, B'tchilo Kishri Yisrael Echod Roitzach HaShem Lasas Avodah Zorah V'atzmoi. Now we go back to the halacha that we're trying to understand here. At first, when a Jew creates an idol for himself, bevadai yefsher shetia nasis avodah zorah miyad, it's definitely impossible for it to become an idol immediately, the moment he formed it. Ki hu rochek legamri miavodah zorah, because as we learned here, a Jew is the furthest thing in the world from idols. Ubehepech mamish mimena, a Jew is the opposite of idols and idol worship. V'al kein yefsher shetia nasis avodah zorah ad sheteoveh. And therefore, this physical idol that this Jew made or built doesn't become an idol until the Jew actually worships it. But 1 second, you just told me that a Jew is very far from an idol, nothing to do with an idol. Ki bevadai yesh lahodom bechira. Because a human being definitely has free choice. Ukishoved Havidazora Mamish. And when a Jew actually worships this thing, Oz Oiker Hachius Legamri Misharoshoi. By doing that, he tears away the life, the spiritual life of that thing totally from its source, Venasa Avodazora Mamish. And it becomes an actual idol, Venasar Bahanor. And therefore, from that point on, you're not allowed to have any pleasure whatsoever from that thing. It becomes a forbidden object. You're not allowed to sell it. You can't have any benefit from it whatsoever. Aval ho'akum, whereas a non-Jew, takef kishep soloi l'shem elokah. The moment a non-Jew shapes or forms or constructs something to be an idol, even before he worships it, nasa avodah zorah, it becomes an idol. Ki ho'akum hu somuch l'avodah zorah mamish, because non-Jews are naturally very close to idols and idol worship. Ki hu mechelkoi kanal, because that's his portion, as we discussed in the previous year. V'al kein bekal al yidei hazmorah bi'alma nasis etzlei avodah zorah. And therefore, very easily, simply by the goy designating something to be an idol, even without worshipping it yet, it becomes an idol. Aval achar kach, however, afterwards, kishikvar nasis avodah zorah, once the item already becomes an idol, whether it was formed by a Jew or a havdol by a goy, le'inyan bitul, regarding nullifying it, removing its status as an idol, hula hepech. We have the exact opposite situation of what we just described. Ki avodah zorah shel Yisrael ein lo bitul olamis. Because something which was designated as an idol by a Jew, and the Jew worshipped it, once he worshipped it, it can never lose that status. It's an idol forever, and it has to be destroyed. Avodah zorah shel akum, whereas an idol that's made by a non-Jew and worshipped by the non-Jew, yesh lo bitul, it can become nullified. Its status as an idol can become nullified. Ki ho'akum me'achar shubchinas gashmius v'guv shemisham achizas avodah zorah, because the non-Jew, because he represents the physical, the body, which is where avodah zorah is connected, it's just that, as we learned earlier, the non-Jew is supposed to nullify himself and make him subservient to the Jew, just like the body is supposed to be subservient to the soul. V'yoz ho'yemizkasher chiyusoy v'chol hadvorim shebrashusoy elakdusha. And if the non-Jew would do that, if the non-Jew would make himself subservient to the Jew, by doing that, his whole life and everything in his possession would become connected to holiness. Avul kolzman she'eino mekashrat zman l'Yisrael, but so long as the non-Jew does not attach himself and make himself subservient to the Jew, mikolshken kishemafredat zman l'Yisrael agamri, and especially when the non-Jew disconnects himself completely from a Jew, and he makes an idol for himself, so now that idol has no spiritual life whatsoever. Where should it get spiritual life from? Me'achar she'akoroi ve'hefridoi mi'Yisrael. Since the non-Jew detached himself completely from the Jewish people. She'hein chiyus u'neshama shel kol ha'olam ha'maloya. The Jewish people who are the life energy and the soul of the entire world. V'al kein, machma she'ein b'havoy dezora, azois shum chiyus dikdusha. Therefore, this idol that was made by a non-Jew and worshipped by the non-Jew, who is completely detached from the Jewish people, since that idol has no holy life to it, alken ein asura. Therefore, it's not forbidden, rak kolzman shenikreis avodah zarah. It's just as long as it's still considered an idol, she'oz hi'akura mi'Yisrael. So long as it's considered an idol, it's totally detached from the Jewish people. Avol tekef kishoakom mevatel oisa upoisel oisa mevedizora. However, the moment the non-Jew decides that it's no longer an idol, and he considers it mamish, you know, he takes it out of its status of an idol completely, shuv chozar hadovor kivatchila. That object goes back to its original status. The Yochel Shuv Lehiskasher Israel, the Lachzer Lakdusha. And now that object can still become attached to the Jewish people and return to the ballpark of holiness. That's an idol that was made by a non-Jew and worshipped by a non-Jew. Avol Yisrael, whereas the Jewish people, Shehem Biatzmam Hachius Shel Kol Hadvarim, they are the life of everything in this world. Kishehu noifel chas v'sholem, v'oisa li'atzma evodizor chas v'sholem. When a Jew falls to such a low place where he makes an idol for himself, nimtza she'oiker chiyus mamish mehakedusha u'mamshich l'toycha evodizor. That Jew is detaching himself from holiness and plugging himself into an idol, into avodah zarah. V'al kein avodah zarah hazois ein lo bitul olamis. And therefore, the idol that he makes and worships can never be nullified from its status as an idol. Machmashenim shech letoicha chiyus al yidei Yisrael, because that idol received some spiritual energy, some spiritual life, as a result of the fact that it was made by a Jew and worshipped by a Jew. Shehem b'sharosham etzem hachius shel kol hadvarim shebo'olam. The Jewish people, in our source, are the life of everything in the world. Ve'ein lo shum tikun kiyem l'sorfa u'lekavra u'leakra u'levara min ha'olam legamri. And that idol that was made by this Jew and worshipped by this Jew, there's no tikkun for it other than to destroy it completely. Burn it, bury it, take it out of the world, destroy it from the world completely. V'yoshuv el Hashem v'yirachameihu. And then the Jew can do tshuva, can try to return to Hashem, and Hashem will have pity on him. Ki Yisroel b'sharoshon heim rechoikim legamri me'achiza savoydezor. Because a Jew, at his source, based on where he's rooted, he is the furthest thing in the world from idols. Ki ein bechinas neshama v'nefesh. The Jewish people are the soul, B'chinas chius kol ha'olamos. We are the source of life, of spiritual life, of all the worlds. Ve'im klulim v'achuzim bo yisbarach. And the Jewish people are included in and attached to Hashem. Ki kutche berichu v'yisroel v'oyraisa kol achad. Because we have this famous, famous quote from the Zohar HaKadosh that Hashem, the Jewish people, and the Torah are all one. Question in the chat, how can we understand now that the non-Jews are close to Avodah Zarah? Now almost no one worships idols. The answer is there's a number of factors related to this. Number one, there's a famous quote from the Baal Shem Tov where the Baal Shem Tov says on the words in the Shema that we say, Visartem, you will turn away, you'll turn away from Hashem. Any turn away from Hashem, Vavadatem Elokim Acherim, is considered like worshipping idols. If a person turns 1 degree away from Hashem, they're turning towards idol worship. That's idol worship or denial of Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal's using the term Avodah Zarah, but he means both of them. He means idol worship and atheism, any form of denial of Hashem, and really any form of true respect for Hashem, the respect for Hashem that the Jewish people are supposed to have, or, lahavdil, the respect that the non-Jews are supposed to have by observing their 7 mitzvahs properly and by not doing anything at all whatsoever to harm a Jew, but rather trying to be helpful to the Jewish people in whatever way they can. The moment they're not doing those things, the moment they're not observing the 7 mitzvahs b'nei noyach, the moment they're doing anything whatsoever to harm a Jew, they're connecting to Avodah Zarah. Remember, we're in the topic of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, and Shfichas Domim. Rav Nosson Zal started off speaking about Avodah Zarah, then he went into Gilui Arayis, and now he came back a little bit to the topic of Avodah Zarah. And now he's going to move on to the topic of Shfichas Domim. Why these three things are unique? When it comes to these three sins, a Jew is supposed to allow himself to be killed rather than to commit the sin. Paragraph Ches, V'alkein, al Shfichas Domim gamkein, Yehoreg Valyara. Based on what we're learning here, we'll understand also why when it comes to committing murder, the law is also that a Jew should rather let themselves be killed rather than to murder another Jew. Gizeh mitzad hasvara. Because the Gemara tells us this is logical. We don't need a pasuk to prove this. This is logical. K'moshom Rabbi Seinazala, as the Gemara points out in Sanhedrin, my choses de domo didoch sumak tfei. Who tells you that your blood is redder than that person's blood? Meaning, what gives you the right to say that in order that you should remain alive, it's okay to kill somebody else? Because as we've been learning throughout the past two halachas here, the main reason behind why a Jewish life is more important than all the mitzvahs in the Torah, and we put aside just about all the mitzvahs in order to save a Jewish life, is based on the fact that we learned earlier that every single Jew is a composite of the entire Torah. Just like the Torah has 613 commandments divided into two parts, 248 positive, 365 negative, so too a Jew has 248 organs and 365 tendons. A Jew is like the entire Torah. V'hu b'chinas nefesh, keneged kol ha'olam, and the Jew is like the soul, the battery of the entire world. V'alkein bevadai ein doichin nefesh mipnei nefesh, and therefore we definitely cannot push aside one Jew for another Jew. We cannot murder one Jew to save another Jew. Now listen to this. V'afilu im zeh ha'odam tzadik v'kosher yoseh mechaveroi. Even if it's 100% clear and obvious that one of the two people is much more religious and a much greater tzaddik than the other one whom he's being told to kill, Afal pikein ein doichin nefesh mipnei nefesh. Still, we do not allow killing one Jew in order to save another Jew. Ki kol lechot mi Yisrael al yidei choizik emunosoi levad hu bechinas nefesh v'chius shel kol olam kanal. Because each and every single Jew, based on their faith in Hashem alone, without anything else, even if chas v'shalom they're not observing the mitzvahs, if the Jew really believes in Hashem, that Jew is the soul and the life of the entire world. V'al kein, and therefore, kol zman sheshem Yisrael nikra lo, so long as he still carries the name Jew, dahainu sheyesh loy emuna b'Hashem Yisborach, which means he does have a basic faith in the fact that there is a Hashem. Hashem created the world. There's no big bang and there's no little bang, none of that nonsense. He doesn't know the value of tzitzis or tefillin or lighting candles, etc. Anu tzrichin oisoi. We need that person. Dahainu sheyesh. We need that person, sheyiskayim bo'olam, that he should continue existing and living in the world. Ve'ein doichen oisoi lohorgoi mipnei chaveroi. And we do not push that person aside. We do not say it's okay to kill that person, mipnei chaveroi, in order that another Jew should live, afilu im hugodo mimenu, even if it seems to us 100% clear that the other Jew is much more important, much greater, much more religious. Ki mi yoidea goidol koichoi shel zeh be'inyan choizek emuna. Because who knows, who understands the incredible greatness of this Jew regarding their strong faith in Hashem? Kimoishan uroyim b'chush, as we see in actual life, shelefa'omim, hakal shebekalim, yisroi nafshoi al kiddush Hashem, yoiser migodol b'Yisrael. There are times when the least religious Jew was willing to allow himself to be killed al kiddush Hashem more quickly, more easily than big rabbis sometimes. There are stories like this in the Holocaust, in the Spanish Inquisition, of Jews who were not observant. They didn't keep Shabbos, they didn't keep... But when put to a certain test, where the non-Jew tried to get them to show a certain disrespect for Hashem, for the Torah, they said, I don't care, no. I will kill you, kill me, not interested. There's a story in the Gemara where the Romans once told a certain Jew who was not religious. The Romans were afraid to go into the Holy of Holies of the temple to take out things from there. So they told the Jew to go in and bring out things. The Jew went in and he brought out something. Then they told him, now we want you to go into the Holy of Holies and take out the menorah. And he said, that far to go into the Holy of Holies, I'm not going to go. They said, we're going to kill you. He said, no problem, go ahead, kill me. And again, the Gemara shows that each person has a place where they draw their line. And sometimes, even people who are totally not religious, when they're put to a certain test of showing a certain complete disrespect for Hashem, or for the Torah, or for religion, they're ready to give up their lives 100%. V'al kein, ein doichin nefesh mipnei nefesh la'olam. And therefore, we never, ever allow killing one Jew to save another Jew. Ki kol echot mi Yisrael, kol zman sheyesh lo emuna, tzrichin oisoi sheyiskayim bo'olam. Because every single Jew, so long as he has a certain basic faith, we need him, we need that person to remain in the world. Ki kol echot mi Yisrael, machriya ho'olam l'Hashem Yisborach, lefi b'chinosoi, al yidei emunosoi levad. Because every single Jew turns the world to Hashem, connects the world to Hashem based on that person's level, just through his faith alone. Remember, we have that pasuk, v'tzadik be'emunoso yichyeh. V'yefsher lonu laharich be'nefesh v'nefesh. And we do not have the ability to evaluate, to make an evaluation between one Jew and another Jew. Who knows? Which one of us knows the power of each and every single Jew regarding his faith, his emuna? That's not something that you can see on the outside at all, necessarily. And therefore, imhu apikoiris, if the person is an apikoiris, which means they show ve'enoi emuna be'emes, he doesn't believe in the truth at all. And again, the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch give us definitions of what this term apikoiris is. We're going to see this. We'll have this come up. Mitzvah lehorgoi, then it's a mitzvah to kill such a person. Ki moiriden oisoi v'loi malin. The Gemara says such a person, we throw him down into a ditch, and if he's in a ditch, we don't take him out. We don't try to save his life. Ki ikar yesoid kol hatoira kula huho emuna. Because the main foundation of the entire Torah, of the entire Yiddishkeit, is emuna. K'moshom Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, v'hu ikar chius v'kium kol ha'ilomais kulam. And that's the source of life and existence of all the worlds. That's what's keeping all the worlds alive. K'moshu Kosov, as the Pasuk says, v'chol ma'asehu be'emuna. All of Hashem's creations are being sustained through emuna. U'kamashu Kosov, and as the Pasuk says, v'tzadik be'emunoso yichya, that a tzadik lives with emuna. So emuna is the foundation, and emuna alone is enough to decide that this person is as important as any other person in Klal Yisrael, regarding the fact that we would not be willing to kill this person to save another Jew. There's a famous halacha that if the goyim, if let's say someone does a certain crime and the goyim don't know who did it, and they approach a city and they say, we don't know who did the sin, give us one Jew and we'll kill one Jew and we'll let you go. We're not allowed to give up a Jew. We're not allowed to say this Jew, you know, we're going to give in order to save another Jew, that kind of thing. We cannot choose one. If they say, give us this person and we won't destroy the city, otherwise we'll destroy the whole city, then we're allowed to. But for us to choose a person, we're never allowed to do that. A question in the chat going back to the topic of Gilui Arayos. In the beginning of paragraph Hey, Rav Nosson Zal mentioned that the body and soul are like the concept of the world and the Jewish people. And we said that that's also the concept of male and female. And Rav Nosson Zal had proved from the Zohar HaKadosh that a woman who is illegal to a man, a woman who is out of bounds for a man, is referred to as an idol regarding that man. The Pasuk says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to his students, do not look at the idols, referring again to women who were forbidden to them. It wasn't their own wife. And Rabbi Nosson Zal showed that this concept of Pigama Bris is similar in that respect to idol worship. And he spoke also about the droplet that makes the connection between a man and a woman, that originates from the Moyach, from the Seichel. It's in that paragraph Hey where he went into this, and therefore, when it's conducted in a kosher manner properly in order to perpetuate mankind, then it's tikkun ha'olam. It's perfecting and allowing the world to exist. Whereas chas v'shalom, when a person does something illegal in this area of the bris, it's as if they're tearing out the soul from its source, and they're strengthening the body against the soul. This was mentioned in that part of paragraph Hey, was actually the paragraph that dealt with it the most. Baruch Hashem, with this we complete this halacha. Halacha Gimel, Avoida Selilim Shalakum Yeshva Bitul. An idol that's been made by a non-Jew can become nullified and go back to being an ordinary object that you're allowed to use. V'shel Yisroel, but an idol that was formed by a Jew, and the Jew actually worshipped it, ein lo bitul olamis, that idol can never become kosher, can never become an object that you're allowed to use. Ule'inyun isura b'tchila hu lehefech. But regarding when it first becomes an idol, the law works in the opposite manner. An idol that's formed or shaped by a non-Jew or designated by a non-Jew becomes forbidden the moment he designates it, even before he actually serves it. Whereas an idol that's made or designated by a Jew does not become a treif object until the Jew actually worships it. Kimavur b'yoredeya ayin shom, as is explained in chapter 139 in Yoredeya. This halacha is going to be based on chapter 25 in Likud Emran. Al pi ha-Torah ach ve'lon mono deloy shavi lechavola. This is part of the story where Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, who was called the Chakima de Yehudoin, the wisest one of all the Jews, went on a mission to defeat the 60 wise men of Athens, the 60 philosophers. The Gemara tells this story in Bechoros, the beginning of Bechoros, and the Gemara tells an incredible, amazing story, how he found them and how he defeated them in all the arguments. And the Gemara actually mentions the debates that they had. One of the debates was where they said to him, show us something that's not worth the damage that it causes. So the Gemara says, he said, no problem. He took a large mattress and he tried to bring it through a doorway, and the doorway was too narrow to get it through. So he said, let's bring an axe, let's chop down the whole doorway so we can get the mattress through. This is an example of an object that's not worth the destruction that it causes. Ayin Shom, take a look, study this chapter on the Likut Emran to have a real solid introduction to this halacha. V'haklal, to summarize what Rabbi Nizal speaks about over there, Kitzorich kolodom lohoitzi es atzmoy mehamedame velalois el hasechel. Rabbi Nizal there mentions that one of the most important things that a Jew is supposed to accomplish in life in this world is to be zoche to sechel, to be zoche to true intellect. And real sechel means recognition of Hashem. That's the most important sechel, real recognition of Hashem, and to take ourselves out of medame. The word medame, we've mentioned many times, has multiple definitions. Medame can mean fantasy, dreamland. Medame can mean make-believe. Medame can mean sheker, falseness, lies. The word ledamois means to imitate, something that imitates something else. You have gold that costs $2,000 an ounce, and you have imitation gold that costs $2 an ounce. This is real, this is not real, this is medame in a sense. And our mission in this world is to take ourselves out of medame into seichel, v'chulu, etc. Rabbi Nizal elaborates on this over here. Ki ha-koyach ha-medame hu koyach ha-behemius. Because another term for koyach ha-medame is koyach ha-behemius. It's like the animal inside of us. Shemishom kol ha-taivois v'ha-bilbulim. That's the source of all of our materialistic desires and all of our confusion, our lack of clarity. Sheheim ha-klipois ha-koidmen l'pri. And this is also sometimes referred to as the klipa, the husk, the peel that comes before the fruit, that covers the fruit. And in order to get to the fruit, you have to first be able to remove the klipa in order to get to the fruit. V'chulu, etc. Ve'ef shalachnia ha-klipois dainu ha-demioinois v'amachshovois v'ataivois v'abilbulim shebechol madrego shekulamim b'chines koyach ha-medame i'ef shalachniam ki'im al yidei gedulas ha-boirei. Rabbi Nizal explains over there in the Likut Emran that this concept of koyach ha-medame is not like a once-in-a-lifetime battle. Every level that a Jew is supposed to keep trying to climb from level to level, always trying to go higher and higher, and on each and every level, there's the koyach ha-medame of that level. There's the sheker on that level, the klipa, the demyonos, and everything. And the only way that we can defeat these klipos, these demyonos, these machshavos, these taivos and bebulim, which are all under that umbrella term koyach hamedame, is through gedulas haboire, through the greatness of Hashem, by revealing the greatness of Hashem. Dahainu, alidei hisgalus hagavnin shebekesev ezohov. The example that Rabbein Azal gives in that chapter on the Kutuman, he tells us that gold and silver shine, they sparkle. That shine of the gold and silver is divine light. There is divine light in gold and silver. That's what gives it its glow. That's what gives it its importance. That's why gold costs so much money and silver costs so much money. And that's why gold was used and silver were used in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why kings and queens and rich people use gold and silver. Because it has these gavnin, it has these divine colors, these divine light inside of them. And Rabbein Azal says there, we have to reveal this light that's found in the gold and silver. And the way that we accomplish this is by giving charity to a real, worthy, poor person or cause. By doing that, we reveal and we cause those heavenly lights that are found in gold and silver to really shine brightly. And they are one of the most powerful forms of revealing the greatness of Hashem. That's why in the Beis HaMikdash, you had gold and silver. And the holier a section in the Beis HaMikdash you went into, the more gold and silver. For example, you had the Mizbach HaNechoshes. You had the Mizbeach, which was from copper. That's called the Mizbeach HaChitzoin. That's the outer Mizbeach that was in the courtyard. But the Mizbeach that was inside, the Mizbach HaKtoiris, gold. The Menorah, gold. Everything was silver, all these different things. The gavnen iloin hamadubashim bekesev ezohov ein meirin elo eitzel Yisroel. Rabbein Azal explains over there, these divine colors, these divine lights that are found in gold and silver only shine when the gold and silver is in the possession of a Jew. Kishon mekoimam, because that's their place. Bebchinas, as the pasuk says, Yisroel asher becho espoir, the Jewish nation in whom I take pride. That's the regular translation. Yisroel asher becho, the Jewish nation asher becho, in you espoir, are these colors. Tiferes means multicolored. Avol kol zman shehakesev ezov eitzel ha'akum, azay hagavnen ne'elom menoiron ve'einam irin. However, when the gold and silver is in the possession of a non-Jew, then these colors, these lights, go into hiding. They do not shine. Ki ein shon mekoimam, because that's not really their place. Ki ein mekoimam ela etzel ish ha-Yisraeli. Their true place is only in the possession of a Jew. Bebchinas Yisroel asher becho espoir. The Jewish people, in you, by you, is this espoir. Kishom pe'er hagavnin. It's inside of the Jewish nation. That's where these beautiful colors belong. That's where they're supposed to be. Question: how exactly do gold and silver reveal the greatness of Hashem? The answer is, and Yitz Hashem will take this up in the next shir. Rabbein Azal discusses this over there. In other words, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, silver corresponds to chesed. Silver is whiteness. Silver is like white. Silver is a display of the midas ha-chesed of Hashem. The color silver, that glow and silver shines. And gold leans more towards the side of redness. And gold corresponds to the midah of gvura. And in the Zohar HaKadosh, it refers to chesed throughout the entire Torah. Gold and silver are mentioned hundreds of times, because of the fact that these actually represent the midos of Hashem. There's tremendous holiness and importance in them when they're used properly, we're in the right place. Wishing everybody a wonderful week and besuras tovos of every type.